This is going to sound contrary, completely contrary, but it's actually true. I experienced it. There was a time when I began reading the Gospels. When I began reading the Gospel of Matthew, the Gospel of Mark, the Gospel of Luke, the Gospel of John, the New Testament, everything in the New Testament. When I would read the Old Testament, I always felt condemned because it was like, to me, it was like the law and I never measured up. And so I thought, well, at least Jesus loves the little children. I'm going to read the New Testament. You know, I know that much. I know the song at least. And it got to a point where even in reading the New Testament, I was beginning to be condemned. I mean, you wouldn't think that would be so. Now, I don't know if you guys have experienced that, but I did, like the New Testament. I would begin to be condemned. And I know the verse, we know the verse, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. And so everything that God does for man is out of love. It's always out of love. And yet I'm reading the New Testament and for whatever reason, I'm being condemned. And I got to the point where it's like, I feel okay, but when I read the Bible, I'm starting to feel bad. And, you know, I don't know what's going on. And so my mind is thinking, what do you do? What do I do? And I was praying to God, what do I do? What do I do? And finally, I was like, okay, forget everything. I know that not reading the Bible is not the answer. Because that's what I did before I was born again. I maybe read something of the Bible. I don't know. Yeah. But you don't read the Bible. If you're not born again, you probably don't read the Bible. Unless someone says, hey, let's study this chapter and see what these people think. You know, something like that. And so, but after being born again, I knew that the answer was not to stop reading the scriptures. I knew, I was convinced of God that the scriptures were given of God. I knew that much. And I knew that the Bible was of God. So my prayer at that time was like, I don't know what's going to happen. And I mean, I'll just kind of like repeat kind of what my prayer was like, Lord, every time I read the Bible, I'm condemned. I feel bad. I feel like I can't get out. I get worse. I get worse when I read the Bible. And that, in my mind, that's not supposed to happen. And here's the prayer. Also, it's like, but I know that the answer is not to stop reading the Bible. And so I'm going to continue reading the Bible, and you're going to have to do something. Because if I just get so bad, worse, condemned, I'm not going to stop reading the Bible. I'm going to continue reading regardless of what happens. And right now, this is what's happening. And so regardless of what's happening, regardless of how terrible I'm feeling, how terrible I'm seeing myself condemned, I'm going to continue reading the Bible to the end. It's like, you have to do something. And so...
got disconnected, sorry.
Okay, now you guys hear all over you.
No, towards the middle.
But the answer is never leaving the scriptures. The answer is never saying, forget the Bible, I'm doing better without it, or I do better without it. That's never the answer. Because the Lord did use that, and he brought it. He let that time have its purpose work in my heart, where the attention and the focus somehow by his work came from me onto the one who's not condemned, because his son isn't condemned. And so being born again, his son is alive. The moment we are born again, Christ is our life. He is our life. Before, we didn't have life. And before, even after we're born again, we have our concept of what we think life is. Our concept based on everything that we have known before we were born again. But it's still our concept. It's not the truth. God and God alone knows the truth. And the truth is not something we learn in the scriptures. I have now learned this truth about Jesus, and I'm going to learn this other truth. No, the truth is a person. Jesus himself is the truth. And the Spirit of God bringing us from us unto Christ. And so when now you see how there's passages in the New Testament, even in the Old Testament, and we know this, this is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased. Well, I know I'm not Jesus. It can't be talking about me. Of course it's not talking about me. It's talking about Jesus, who is my life. God and God alone can show us who our life is. And I've used this word ever since the Lord made it clear in my heart. The word is automatic. How do I come? I mean, even in everything that's been shared throughout the years of the truth of Christ, of the gospel, how do I come from me to him? How do I come to where the scale, you've heard it, to where the scales tip, where you can actually confess in truth, where it's not you just memorizing something that you read or heard somebody's other person say, it is not I, but Christ who lives in me. Paul, that wasn't Paul's confession of faith. That wasn't Paul's statement of faith. That wasn't Paul's creed. You know, no. Paul just said that automatically after one thing. Because he says that in Galatians chapter 2. He says, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. This, the tent, the vessel, hey, it's still here. You know, this body, this tent is still here. But he goes on to say, but not I the life of this vessel, but Christ who lives in me. That was automatic out of something else from chapter 1, where he says, but when it pleased God, who separated me from my mother's womb, called me by his grace. Okay, God's doing this. God separated him. God called him to reveal his son in me. So Christ was already in Paul. Paul just had no clue who was present. And that's it. And so when we hear things that are true in the scriptures, We do have to believe the truth. You have to. Jesus told, it was either Mary or Martha, you know, when Lazarus died, you know, Jesus, if you would have been here, my brother, he would have lived. But then she goes on to give Jesus her doctrine, what she knows. But I know that in the resurrection, and Jesus kind of takes it from there. He says, no, kind of, let me clarify something. I am the resurrection. And I am the life. Where I am present, resurrection is present. Where I am present, life is present. And then he says this. She tells Jesus she tells the resurrection her doctrine of the resurrection. That's exactly what she does. She's speaking to the resurrection, begins to recite her doctrine, what she knows about the resurrection. I know that in the resurrection, that's what I've learned, that's what I've been taught, that's what I've read, that's what I think, that's what I comprehend. And Jesus basically says, okay, that's, you got your doctrine. I am the resurrection. And I am the life. Where I am present, resurrection is present. I am present, life is present. But then he says this, do you believe this? He doesn't just tell her and leave her alone. No, he presents the truth. He presents himself. He is the truth. He presents himself to her, and then he asks her, okay, now do you believe this? It's like, I know what you believe. You've already told me what you believe. Now I've told you the truth. I've declared myself. I've made myself known to you. Now, do you believe? And so at that point, she can, and God has given her all the opportunity and the ability to be able to believe the truth. Okay? Now, she probably didn't see Jesus as the resurrection. She probably saw Jesus like any other man, you know, like any other person in the room. That's how she probably saw Jesus. But she had to believe in hope while not yet having seen. And that's the same with us. We read the scriptures. We read stuff that the Apostle Paul says. I mean, I was looking at it as Tony was sharing. I just kind of was flipping and jotting down things. And I just, look at this. Look at what this guy says. I mean, this is Ephesians chapter 2. This is an apostle who saw Jesus. This is what he says. And you, who were dead in trespasses and sins, he's speaking to the church. He's speaking to the body of Christ. You guys, we guys, us who were dead before we were born again, before we believed in Christ, before we received life, dead in trespasses and sins, in which you once walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now works in the sons of disobedience. That's where we were, past tense. And I love the tenses in the scriptures when you read them. Because it's always what was, what is, and what forever will be. You were this. That is what you were before you were born again. Among whom also we conducted ourselves in the lusts of the flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath. And then verse 4. That was our condition, past tense. But verse 4. But God, who is rich in mercy, because of his great love with which he loved us. And see, everything God does, he does in love. That's his nature. That's his character. That's what he does in the nature and character that he is. He can't do it and do anything apart from who he is. Even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved. Now he's just brought the what you were. But God now. But now. But God. And so it's now. By grace you have been saved and raised us up together and made us sit together in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. And so you have, when if you read, that's the verse. It's Ephesians chapter 2, verse 6. That's what the Apostle Paul said. So one of two things, a couple of things here. Either Paul is out of his mind because he's speaking to the church that he is looking at. Like if I'm speaking to you and I'm telling you exactly this. You have been right here, raised up, seated together. We say, well, I'm sitting on the couch. Sit together in heavenly places. That means above, in the heavens, in Christ Jesus. But I see you right here. But I cannot see your life by looking into your face or 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 my own face. The only way I will see our life is by looking into his face. Because it's his life. He's the life. So either Paul is out of his mind, crazy as a loon, or he's declaring something because he sees something that we don't. There's another verse. This is, like I said, I was just jotting down verses here and there. This is Exodus. Now, that's the New Testament. That's Paul, having seen Jesus and having continued to see Jesus. Look at this. This is Exodus. Now, this is the Old Testament. This is the testimony. Exodus chapter 19. This is after God sent Moses and the children of Israel have been brought out of Egypt. That's the context. They are out of Egypt. There's already been a death of the lamb. They have already eaten the lamb. The lamb is now on the inside. Salvation, their salvation is now on the inside of each one of them, regardless if they know it or not. All right. This is what God says. Exodus chapter 19, starting with verse 1. In the third month, this is 3 months afterwards, the third month after the children of Israel had gone out of the land of Egypt, on the same day they came to the wilderness of Sinai. That's the context. It's already done. The lamb was slain. They went through the blood. They went through the door, passed through the blood. They're washed in the blood. They're in the house. They go through the Red Sea, the burial. Now, they come to the wilderness of Sinai. For they had departed from Rephidim, had come to the wilderness of Sinai, and had camped in the wilderness. So Israel camped there before the mountain. And Moses went up to God. To me, his heart just turned to the Lord. That's all it is. His heart turned to the Lord. But see, it's always up. Up to God. Come up to me. Up to God. It's always up. The Spirit and the bride say, come. It's always up. It's always above. Moses went up to God, and the Lord called to him from the mountain, saying, thus you shall say to the house of Jacob, and tell the children of Israel. Tell the church, tell the body, who's already come from death to life, Tony has just mentioned, because they have partaken of a slain lamb, and that lamb is now on the inside. They have come from death to life. This is it. Moses went up. Thus you shall say to the house of Jacob and tell the children of Israel. Exodus chapter 19, verse 4. You, this is the Lord speaking, you have seen what I did to the Egyptians and how I bore you on eagle's wings and brought you unto myself. And you will see that throughout the testimony. This is what God knew to be true, regardless of the children of Israel knew it or not. God knew the truth. They had to believe. They had to believe, not yet seen. Right at that moment, remember, Moses is the one who went up and spoke to God. And later we read in that he spoke to God like a man speaks to his friend, face to face. Moses went up. His heart was directed above, not below. Everybody else's heart, our hearts are directed below. But he tells us the truth, regardless, because he knows the truth. And then time and time again, he brings in a testimony declaring the truth, that he's present in the midst, like the tabernacle. The verse that Tony had mentioned from Acts, this is excellent. From Acts chapter 2, verse 25, in the New American Standard, 95, it says, for David says of him, I saw the Lord always in my presence, for he is at my right hand, so that I will not be shaken. This is David speaking. I saw the Lord always in my presence. If you look at the word presence, it is enopion in the Greek. Don't worry about the pronunciation. I don't. But look at it. It's Strong's number 1799. It means before. And I'm just going to read a Strong's definition of this word, of David. Of David, who was a hero of faith, you know, that the Lord used. But it says, it just says this. In the face of, literally or figuratively, in the face of. Here's David. I saw the Lord always before my face. I was always before his face. And so now David is declaring, and you know you've read the Psalms, David is declaring things that all the rest of Israel, they don't see and they don't know. I will never leave you nor forsake you. David, well, how do you know that? I see the Lord always before my face. This is what I know. One day in your courts, one day in your house. I'd rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God with my heart beholding where my soul and life is found than dwell in the tents of unrighteousness, than be anywhere else. But he didn't do this by his ability. But at some point, God was declaring to him the truth, and he, like either Mary or Martha, had to believe, even though he hadn't yet seen yet. And that's the thing. We hear the truth. We read the truth, like what I read from Paul, who says, raised up, seated together. We even read it in Exodus. The Lord himself said it. You saw what I did to the Egyptians. How I bore you, I brought you on eagle's wings. That's resurrection. Eagle's wings unto myself. And we have to believe the truth. We have to believe the testimony. Jesus himself said this in that day to his disciples. In that day you will know I am in my Father. You are in me and I am in you. And so you can say, okay, well, Jesus said that. The Apostle Paul, who saw Jesus, declared basically the same thing. The Lord himself in the Old Testament to Moses declared basically the same thing, but I don't see it. And so at some point we have to, like, this is what I believe, God. This is based on what I see. This is what I know. This is what I believe. But at some point we have to, but you say this, so I believe this. Regardless of what I see, regardless of what my brain says, my thoughts say, regardless of what my actions are, I have to agree with you. How can two walk together unless they're agreed? I leave my thoughts, and I'm with you. Even if I don't see it, I'm with you. I believe you. I believe your word, and I'm standing on you, even in the midst of all chaos, going like 90 to nothing up here. You know, it's like the midst of the storm and the boats tossed by the waves. You know, I personally get car sick. I have to take the little Bonine pills. I can't fly without taking one of those. I get sick. You don't want to be around me when I'm sick. I'm serious. I don't want to be around me when I'm sick. You know what happens. In the midst of all that, whoa, I'm believing your word. And it's believing the truth in hope. And it's a sure hope. A sure hope. I will give you a sure hope and expected end. A sure hope. And we hold on to that even though we don't see it. And that's believing in hope. Well, I believe even though I haven't seen it. I believe even though I haven't seen. I don't care. I don't care what I see. I don't care what I know. I'm believing your word. And I'm holding on to your word. And I continue here, knowing that not me is going to bring me where you already brought me, but you. He who began a good work in you, bringing your soul unto salvation, unto eternal life, unto resurrection, the moment we were born again, is the same one who will bring your heart in knowledge unto the end. He who, not me, not you, he's done this. Having begun in the Spirit, he will continue now in the Spirit, bringing our heart and understanding and knowledge to his, to the truth, the Spirit of truth. And so we're believing, we're hoping until Peter says the following, you do well to take heed as unto a light that shines in a dark place. That light is the light of the testimony, the light of the truth. Verses that we've read, verses that have been quoted, by believing those, you're holding on to that because that's literally all you've got to hold on to. Mm-hmm. Until, he says it's until the day star, the day dawn, the day star arise in your heart.
Thank you, Lord.
at that point, you will experience, just as the Apostle Paul experienced, just as David experienced, just as Moses experienced, just as Isaiah experienced, just as all of them experienced, anyone that has declared the truth, the gospel, you in your heart will experience it. And you will now believe in faith, because now you will be seeing what you have believed. It is true. And faith is the substance, the real thing of that which you have hoped for, that which cannot be seen with the natural eye. Mm-hmm. And so come what may, at that point, you're not shaken. You're not shaken because your life isn't found in it. You know, just the miracle that Jesus performed in the boat on the waves. I mean, Jesus is asleep. He's at rest because he is forever before the face, always before the face of his Father. He knows where his life is found. The disciples have no clue. The disciples, instead of finding their life in Jesus, they think they've got a life in themselves, and that life goes like this. And it does. And when the disciples say, "Master, don't you care that we're about to drown?" They know what they're saying. They were fishermen. They were captains. They were fishermen. So when they say, "We're about to drown," they're not lying. Here's the situation. It's a real situation. It's a true situation. From all my training, from my business, from my livelihood, this is what the situation is going to result in. We are going down. And yet there's something greater. And yet all they could see was what they all had always known. And they're all frantic, and Jesus can't do a miracle. You know, they won't hear him, because all they're saying is, "Here, you get a bucket and start helping us." Kind of like what you say, bringing God down into the situation while he's up resting in the heart of his Father. And so they can't hear him. So they can't hear him speak. There's no peace in them. He is the Prince of Peace. Peace is present. They have no clue who's present. And so what does he do? He can't speak to them. He speaks to the elements. Winds, waves, be calm. Because at least they'll obey. They'll listen. You know, the greater miracle would have been is if his disciples would have laid down with him in the midst of the chaos.
And even if they died, to go to that extreme.
Even if they died. Because nothing would have changed with that testimony. Jesus was present the whole entire time. And our life, for the one who's born again. Now, if a person's not born again, you need to be born again. But if you are born again, our life is present the whole entire time, whether there's a storm or whether there's not a storm. But he's always present. And the Spirit of God is always drawing our hearts above, out from this below. Because here below, you will have problems, situations. But Jesus says, "I have overcome the world, overcome above." You know, so nothing changes of him. He doesn't change. And not only that, but he that doesn't change, that nothing changes with him, he's the one who is our life. Regardless, we don't need a catastrophe to know him. No, we don't. Did God send this? Did God not send this? I don't know. I have no clue. I don't know. People will say, "Well, God did this because," or "this happened because," whatever. All I know is that in every generation, regardless of what's happening in the generation, the Spirit of God is drawing above. God is calling hearts unto his Son. That's what he's doing. Whether there's a situation going on or not, God is drawing hearts to turn and come unto Christ his Son. This is what he's doing, regardless. And there's some who hear And some who hear unto salvation, and then there are some who hear who have salvation unto the knowledge of the salvation they've received, who, like Moses, like David, like Paul, like all the others, begin to, in their hearts, go up, turn unto the Lord. And so when they come down, they have something true to say in the midst of whatever, or when there is something or when there isn't something. But it's always like what Jesus told the girl, Mary or Martha, forgive me, I can't remember which one. He declares the truth. Now, do you believe? Mm-hmm. And like I said, at some point, we have to come from what we have believed, past tense, to at least agree with what God says and believe that what he says is actually true and not going to change, regardless if we see anything change or not. Because the Spirit of God will take, it's like getting on one of those escalator things. You don't even have to put effort. You just stand on it. It takes you. It takes you. You know, and on the airports, you just, or wherever in the malls, you just, there's the hard way. You know, you can climb the stairs, put forth effort. And really, if it's your effort, you're not really going anywhere. Or there's this escalator thing that you can just walk up to, stand on, and, you know, it just takes you.
Up.
Up. And so to believe the truth, even if we haven't fully seen the truth, but to at least agree with God and believe the truth and allow the Spirit of God to have his perfect work in our heart so that we can see the one whom we believed.
Anybody else? Or? Can you pray for us?
Yeah.
Before you leave, I know you're leaving. Yeah. I should post a prayer for you. Eh? No, but I mean, right now. I'm just kind of.
Yeah. Lord, I thank you just for everyone here, for everyone in this fellowship, Lord, for everyone whose heart that you yourself have prepared, even for this time, and whose hearts, our hearts, you will continue to prepare, Lord. I thank you that your word is true. I thank you that you are not a liar. I thank you that you are true, and we can declare our own eyes, our own mind, that these are the liars. Our mind is the liar. Our eyes are the liars. But you are not a liar. We can agree with you. We can thank you. We can believe and hope in your word because your word is true. And I just pray and I ask that you would continue by your Holy Spirit working upon the ground of our heart, directing our heart, guiding our heart unto the truth, who is your Son. That Father, that you would reveal your Son in us, that we would see Jesus, that we would see his face, Lord. I ask you would do this by your Spirit. And I thank you that you do keep us throughout the whole entire time. We do not keep ourselves, but you keep us. And even as it was shared earlier, nothing is able to snatch us out of your hand, Lord God. And to even seal it, you declare that you and the Father are one. I thank you for that, Lord. I thank you that our salvation is secure. There's secure, nothing to be feared. And I thank you that all you desire to do is now show the salvation that you've already given. I ask you would do this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.